Good morning.
Good morning.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we give thanks that we can trust in you, Lord, in all we do, Lord. And if we just trust that you will hold us through all of our adversities, through all of our problems, Lord, in this crazy, mixed up world that we live in today, Father, we thank you that we can trust in your powerful word, Lord, that brings us strength and peace and grace. We pray that you speak to us, that you enlighten us, and that you bless us with your word today through this sermon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So my sermon title today is, since Jesus is walking on water, I will praise you in this storm. Amen?
Amen.
A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the feeding of the 5,000. And there it is. And because of this miracle, the people wanted to make Jesus the king by force. Okay, so this was indeed their Savior, and He was going to deliver them from the rule of the Roman Empire. So when they saw what he did with the bread and the fish, they saw the miracle. They're like, "This is our king. This is our time." But to Jesus, the prospect of an earthly kingdom was nothing else than the temptation of the devil. Jesus had another plan, right? Amen. And he decisively rejected it, as he had with the temptation of the devil. The temptation in the desert, when he was tempted by the devil in the desert. So once again, he rejected it. And then Jesus withdrew to a mountainside by himself. Now, in the first few verses, it says that when evening came, they got in a boat without Jesus to withdraw to Capernaum, and as the Lord had instructed them. So the Lord had told them to go, get in a boat, go to Capernaum, and he was going to stay there and pray. Amen? So, by now it was dark, and a strong wind was blowing, and it made the waters really rough. So they're in the water, and they're trying to get to Capernaum, and they're rowing very hard, and they're getting nowhere. They're scared, they're alone. But doesn't that sound a bit familiar? Doesn't it seem that in our lives, sometimes we're rowing hard and we're not getting anywhere? Amen? Do we stay faithful in these storms? Should we stay? You know, we should be staying faithful in these storms, right? Because we've got to trust in God's timing and God's will, right? Amen? The disciples were in this uncomfortable place because Jesus told them to cross the lake. Amen? Oh, my granddaughter's here. So we will all face trials when we set out to do what Jesus tells us to do. Jesus never said it was going to be easy, right? He's going to give us hard things to do. There's going to be hard things in our lives. So Jesus knows this, and He understands this. So we should never be deceived into thinking that if we're really right with God, that everything's going to be an easy road, right? Never be deceived by that. That's not what God says. And, you know, look at the disciples. Look at Paul. Look at Job. They didn't have it easy, right? Pretty sure the opposite, right? Especially Paul. Oh, my God. But then what happens? So they're in the water. They're in the storm. And they suddenly see Jesus walking on the water towards the boat. Amen? And there he is. Okay. So, and the waves are crashing. I don't know if you're... Well, I talked about in my testimony, I talked about how we saw these waves when we were in the ocean going to Alaska. And they're like 20-foot waves. So you imagine those kind of waves, and Jesus isn't just walking across the top. He's on the waves, so He's going with the waves, right? Amen? So they're scared to death. They see Jesus walking on the waves. They're terrified. They think He's a spirit, right? They think He's some kind of spirit. So in verse 20, He says to them, "It is I. Don't be afraid." Amen? Spurgeon writes, "Oh, what a sight, a grander sight than to see Him on the land. And it is a more glorious sight to see Christ in the times of trouble than it is in the times of prosperity. He is always sweet, but He is more marvelous when they see Jesus walking on the sea." Amen. So This pandemic that we're dealing with today is a definite storm in all of our lives that is testing many things and many people. Some might say it's not only testing, but it's also cleansing our land. Amen? Who would have ever thought that a year ago a virus would close all the bars, strip clubs, and casinos in town? Right? Right? Yippee. Yippee. Unfortunately, many churches and restaurants followed suit. Amen? And but what a test of our faith. Here at Amazing Grace, our church and most of our ministry work has continued because we are faithful in the storm. Amen? We realize that many people, pandemic or no pandemic, need to be in community. And in Martin Luther's day, just after the 95 Theses was nailed, the death rate for the bubonic plague had been calculated between 40 and 60% of the population in Wittenberg, where he lived at. A little higher than our coronavirus numbers today. Amen? So when Luther was urged to flee by his greatest supporter, the prince, who was in charge of the town, Luther didn't answer with, "What would Jesus do?" Instead, he said, "What would you do if it was Jesus that needed you to stay here?" In a key quote directly relevant to our coronavirus era today, Martin Luther said, This I well know, that if it were Christ or his mother who were laid low by illness, everybody would be so quick to gladly become a servant or a helper. Everyone would want to be bold and fearless. Nobody would flee, but everyone would come running. If you wish to serve Christ and wait on Him today, very well, you have your sick neighbor close at hand. Go to him and serve him, and you will surely find Christ in him. Now, by sick neighbor, we could be referring to those who are physically sick. We could be referring to those who are struggling with addictions. Those who need groups and community, those who are lonely, those who the only family they have is our church family. Those who are spiritually falling away from their faith. Amen? A gentleman named Dave Dravecki was a professional baseball pitcher who lost his pitching arm to cancer. Soon after that horrible experience, he wrote a book and he titled it, "When You Can't Come Back." In that book, he said, "One night a woman came up to me and told me how she was once down and out with a drug addiction until someone told her about Christ and she became a Christian and was healed of her addiction. She told me that God wanted all His children to be 100% healthy." "But does He?" Dravecki asked. "What would God's children grow up to be like if all the bumps in the road ahead were made smooth?" He continued, "Cancer introduced me to suffering, and suffering is what strengthened my faith. Yet that woman implied I was suffering because I didn't have enough faith. She seemed to be saying, 'Have enough faith and get the life you want.' But," Dravecki said, "that struck me as making God into some kind of cosmic vending machine, where if you push the right button, you get a sweet life free of suffering." Amen? Someone once said that the difference between American Christianity and Christianity as it's practiced in the rest of the world has to do with how we each view suffering. In America, Christians pray for the burden or suffering to be lifted from their backs. In the rest of the world, Christians pray for stronger backs so they can bear the suffering. Amen? So that's why we look away from the bag lady on the street and we look at the displays in the store windows. Amen? We're trying to stay away from the bad stuff, right? That's why we prefer going to movies instead of going to hospitals and nursing homes. That's convicting, but so true. Instead of praying for the burdens to be lifted from our backs, we should be praying that God gives us the strength to endure the suffering. Because Jesus made it very clear, suffering will come, but there is glory ahead. Amen? Amen. We cannot look at our circumstances, difficult as they may be, and say, this can't be from God because it's difficult. If that were true, the Apostle Paul would have definitely been out of the will of God. Amen? Paul went through more hard things than any of us, I'm sure. But it was God's will that brought him to it, and it was God's will that got him through it. According to the Bible, there are three truths about trials. There's a difference between temptations and trials, okay? We're talking about trials. Temptations come from the enemy. They come from the enemy on the outside to make us weaker. Temptations are made to make us weaker. Trials, on the other hand, come from the Father to make us stronger. Amen? Scripture reminds us of three truths that we must remember when we face a trial, such as a storm that they are facing in our text today. The first one, trials come to every believer because true faith must be tested. In Genesis 22:1, Abraham is tested. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to them, Abraham, here I am. Abraham said, then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain, and I will show you. God was testing his faith. Amen? Number two is, trials work for us as Christians, not against us. Romans 8:28, which says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His good purpose. So no matter what trials we're going through, God's working these things for the good of us who love Him. Amen? Number three, trials help us mature in patience. Romans 5, 3 and 4. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. So there's times when things are going wrong for me. Times when I fight to trust God's will, and the Lord says through those trials, this is me. I've done this. I've allowed this storm and the difficulty of the waves. But I'm going to see you through it as well. And it's at these moments that we experience the most amazing peace, because we are not alone in our circumstances. God is with us, Emmanuel. Amen? God knows exactly what's going on in our lives, and He is walking us through it every step of the way. But just as they are frightened of this man walking on the water, we are so used to doing things on our own. We get scared of the supernatural element of God wants to come in and fill our lives. We just want to handle things on our own. We talk about that a lot, you know, about in Celebrate Recovery, about how, you know, sometimes we don't want to give it all to God. We'll give Him this stuff here, but we want to keep this for ourselves. We can handle this. But God wants us to give it all to Him. Amen? These men had just witnessed the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 a day before, and now they're scared and not sure what to make of Jesus walking on water. But then they invite Him in, and as soon as He steps in the boat, boom, they're on the other side of the sea. Amen? So how do they suddenly reach the shore through this storm? They let Jesus in the boat. So like most of us in this church, we have seen many miracles. Amen? Yet, when we find ourselves in difficult situations, we still try to fight them on our own strength. But if we invite the Lord into our situation, He will begin to do things we could not accomplish on our own strength. These disciples were caught in a storm and going nowhere. But as soon as they let Jesus in the boat, they reached their destination. Sometimes we're so afraid to invite Jesus into our situations. Now, in the book of Matthew, I was just telling Pastor that, you know, the book of John is the only book that doesn't mention Peter walking out to Jesus on the water. But in the book of Matthew, not only did Jesus walk on water, but Peter stepped out to join Him in the water. Sometimes we have to step out of our comfort zone and not be afraid of change. We must have a faith, a blessed assurance that the Lord will not let us drown in our hurricanes of life. Just this past Tuesday, we had our first lesson of the season in Celebrate Recovery. What a great night it was. Amen? And that lesson was on denial. We talked about stepping out of our denial and accepting God's grace and asking for His mercy in our lives. Matthew 14 reads, "But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid.' 'Lord, if it is you,' Peter replied, 'tell me to come out to you on the water.' 'Come,' he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and said, 'You of little faith, why did you doubt?'" So when we step out of the boat of denial, are we steadfast in our faith? Or do we start to sink? Remember, Jesus is always there to reach His hand out to us. Amen? The Lord wants us to be willing and let Him into our situations. And that's the important part of today's text. There's something about Jesus walking on the water that just sets Him above all of our issues. Amen? In these verses, the disciples are struggling with what? They're struggling with the wind and the waves. Do you think Jesus is struggling with the wind and the waves? No, He's walking on the wind and the waves. I don't care how strong the sea of storms are in your life, Jesus can walk towards you in your storms as well. Amen? He does not struggle with the storms of any of our lives. He uses them for His good purpose. And He gives us the strength and the courage to endure. In the verses 22 to 24, the multitudes are saying, "Where is Jesus?" They're looking for Jesus. Where's Jesus? The crowds that remained at the mountainside where they had eaten bread after the Lord had given thanks were also in a state of denial. They saw Jesus go up the mountainside and they saw the disciples leaving the only boat. But Jesus was not there. They waited a whole day until they finally realized that Jesus had escaped them. And when some more boats came from Tiberias, they were sure that they could arrive ahead of Jesus at Capernaum. So they set out in search of Jesus. Some thought that Jesus might have walked on water to reach His disciples. They had seen how Jesus had fed the 5,000, so they wanted to make Jesus their bread king. They wanted to rule like kings themselves as well, right? They wanted to defeat the Romans. But just like us, they were slaves to their physical desires and their sinful natures. They were thinking of themselves, amen? They were in opposition to the will of God. But they made themselves so by resisting the Holy Spirit. Does that sound kind of familiar? Right? Today's generation of believers have more tools and resources available for evangelization of the world than ever before. We have all these tools available. There they are. We got the radio. We got TV. We got internet. We got cell phones. We got social media. Facebook. And we call on Jesus much more through our music. The great Christian music we have today. Contemporary. And worship. Especially here at Amazing Grace, we're always calling on Jesus. Amen? And so we should be. But we are blinded by self-interest and routinely pursue our own desires, glory, success, and security in opposition to the will of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. There was a story, speaking of Holy Spirit, one of the daughters of Malcolm X wrote her memoirs, telling what it was like to be raised in the home of the famous black leader. Her name was Lyasa Shabazz. And she was the third daughter of Malcolm X and her mom, Betty Shabazz. Now, Betty Shabazz took the girls to the mosque every Sunday. But when they were visiting their grandparents in Philadelphia, they went to Friendship Baptist Church. And Lyasa loved the church, especially the praying and testifying and the singing of the gospel music. And she wrote, "I love the singing that went on. I wanted to feel whatever powerful force was causing all these people to sing and clap so heartily. I never did catch the spirit, but I always kept the hope. Probably no one told her that she just needed to open her heart to the Spirit and that He was more than ready to come in. We must be open and available to the leading of the Holy Spirit in order to receive it. Amen? Friends, it's time for us to submit to God's leading and let the Holy Spirit do His work in our lives. We all have this desire to build ourselves up and to seek our own kingdoms. But when we do this, we block God's will for us to be shepherds of His flock. Today is the time not only to go out fishing, being fishers of men, that is, but to also let Jesus in the boat alongside of us. Let us be faithful shepherds of His flock and praise Him in every storm of our lives. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You, Lord. We thank You that in every storm of our lives, Father, that we can trust in You. That when we see You walking towards our boat of problems and issues in our lives, Lord, that we always welcome You in. That we trust in Your will, Lord. That we understand that You never said it was going to be easy, Father. But You always said You'd get us through it. And we put You first in everything we do, Lord. And we thank You, Father. And we lift up our nation to You today. We lift up the upcoming election, Father. Pray that You bless this land as You always have, Father God. That You deliver us all from our sins. That You keep us free from any sickness, from any virus, Lord. We pray for Your mercy and Your grace in our lives. And we thank You for the peace that we find in Your Son's most holy and precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you.